Listen, listen, listen. Hear us now. Hear us now. We ask you. We ask you. Now listen.
Mastered economics, cause you took yourself from squalor.
Slave.
Mastered academics, cause your grace said you were scholar.
Slave.
Mastered Instagram, cause you can instigate a follow.
Shit.
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it? Yeah.
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters.
Been it time, I'm on mine, I be minding mine. Every time, on my grind, I'm just trying to shine. Make a dollar, government, they want a dozen dime. The petty kind might kill you cause they see you shine. I done had to have a talk with myself many times. Am I a hypocrite cause I know I did plenty crime. I get broke too many times, I might slang some pine. You believe corporations running marijuana. Your country getting ran by a casino owner. Ooh, pedophile sponsor all these fucking racist bastards. And I told you once before that you should kill your master. Now that's the line that's probably gonna get my ass up.
Master of these politics, you swear that you got options. Master of opinion, cause you vote with the white collar. The 13th Amendment says that slavery's abolished.
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters posing on your dollar.
Get it?
Look at all these slave masters.
Confucius say,
man, you better thug out. Get the bag and the bug out. Try to run home, you might run your luck out. Cause just when your base is loaded, they'll roll a grenade in the dugout. Earth vote, not a mellow bunch. We got our thumbs in the air like hella bus. Look at who we done blessed with our trust. I don't think we'll be left with too much. Hand on my heart, on my mind, on my drugs. Got a vodka punch for your Atlas shrug. Love or not love, it's just that dumb. Lord, sweet Buddha, please make me numb. Rain bounce off walls like a Sinian Roomba. Just found out it's created stupid. Lit by the super moon or too lucid. Plus got shrooms in the blood, I'm zooming. BP, Richie, this is New York City. The X on the map with a pain keep hitting. Just us ducks here shitting. We're murderous choco cops still earning a living. Funny how some say money don't matter. That's rich now, isn't it? Get it? Comedy. Try to sell packets. Supposed to get food, get killed. It's not an anomaly. Hey, it's just
mastered
money.
Mastered economics, cause you took money. Yourself from squalor.
Right.
Mastered academics, cause your grace said you were scholar.
Right.
Mastered Instagram, cause you can instigate a follow.
Yeah.
Look at all these slave masters.
Let it sink in.
2020, run the map. Raw one cut in my hourglass. Don't watch, it's filled to the bottom half. You see the piece, now run it fast. On the tarmac, get a starter jack. C4 when I run it back. Like a track star on a record lap. Nah, like when it's steel cat. Clean look, poor pugilist. A shooter's view is a brutal flick. Too rude for you rudiments. Who convinced you you can move against the crew in this? Coming up through the fence. Offshore out of Port-au-Prince. Overture left his fingerprints. On the hearts of the gate in the world of residence.
How can we be the peace when the beast gonna reach for the worst? Tear on the flesh of the earth. Stay set from a deafening reckoning. Quick like the pace of a verse. So I'm questioning. This quest for things is a recipe for early death threatening. But the breath of me is weaponry for you. It's just money.
Welcome to episode 6 of the Antigen Internet Radio Podcast, where we fill 1 hour of uncomfortable white silence with the sound of music. In a bit of a change from the usual relentless product placement, we won't be subjecting listeners to tracks from the Antigen back catalogue this time. Instead, I'll be delving deep into my personal record collection for revolutionary songs, old and new, written and performed in the main by African-American artists. But there are some angry Brits in there too, and a token floppy-haired indie tune from my guest today, Mr. Seymour Quigley. Quick disclaimer, some of the tracks in this podcast contain language that some listeners may find offensive, including what we liberals refer to as the N-word. Listeners who are offended by black artists reappropriating this racial epithet should probably switch off before the next track. The very brief intro to today's show was listened by the Watts Prophets from the Black Voices on the Streets in Watts. More from them at the end of the show, if you get that far. That was followed 15 seconds later by Just by Run the Jewels from RTJ4, which is available as a free download from their website without the need to contaminate yourself by touching US paper money still bearing the images of slave owners. It's been a bad week for slavers in general, as statues commemorating their philanthropy came down around the world. A statue of mass-murdering slaver and philanthropist Edward Colston fell into Bristol Harbour on the 7th of June. Police appealed to right-wingers and Brexiteers for calm until forensic teams have identified the cause of the accident. But preliminary reports show the statue had a pre-existing medical condition and may have had intoxicants in its system. Before I start really virtue signalling, in the interest of transparency, I should tell you that I received some critical feedback about the last podcast from a listener in Switzerland. Surprisingly, this was not about the racially insensitive comments I made about Switzerland's love of cheese and Nazi gold, or the Swiss government's apparent ambivalence to the rise of fascism in the Second World War. Instead, it was a complaint about my pronunciation of Winterthur. I'm reliably informed that it isn't pronounced like that. In my defence, Switzerland has four national languages, and I couldn't be bothered to find out whether the pronunciation was Swiss French or Swiss German, so I went for Game of Thrones. I would apologise, but recent events have taught me that apologies are unnecessary when you can instead offer a tedious and implausible explanation. Enough of that, let's continue with the show.
When the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, some of us will probably catch it on TV with chicken hanging from our mouths. You'll know it's revolution because there won't be no commercials. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
preacher pimps are gonna split the scene with the communion wine stuck in their back pockets. Faggots won't be so funny then, and all the junkies will quit their nod and wake up when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, transit cops will be crushed by the trains after losing their guns, and blood will run through the streets of Harlem, drowning anything without substance. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
I hope pearly white teeth fall out of the mouths that speak of revolution without reference. The course of revolution is 360 degrees. Understand the cycle that never ends. Understand the beginning to be the end, and nothing is in between but space and time that I make or you make to relate or not to relate to the world outside my mind, your mind. Speak not of revolution until you are willing to eat rats to survive. When the revolution comes,
when the revolution
comes, when the revolution comes, guns and rifles will be taking the place of poems and essays. Black cultural centers will be forts supplying the revolutionaries with food and arms when the revolution comes. When the revolution comes, white death will form the walls of museums and churches, breaking the lie that enslaved our mothers. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, Jesus Christ is gonna be standing on the corner of Lenox Avenue and 125th Street, trying to catch the first gypsy cab out of Harlem. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes, Jew merchants will give away matzo balls and gefilte fish to anyone they see with an afro. Frank Schiffman will give away the Apollo to the first person he sees wearing a blue dashiki. When the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
afros gonna be trying to straighten their heads, and straighten heads gonna be trying to wear afros. When the revolution comes, when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes,
when the revolution comes. But until then, you know and I know niggas will party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party and bullshit and party. Some might even die before the revolution comes.
That was When the Revolution Comes by The Last Poets from their eponymously titled debut album released 50 years ago in 1970. An album that spent 24 weeks in the US charts and was a Billboard Top 30 hit, back when the record-buying public was obviously a lot cooler than it is now. A lot has happened since the last podcast. Luckily, it's pretty much all self-satirising, so I'm just going to read out a list of stuff from a sheet of paper. You can make your own humour by pretending it's happening to somebody else. Not sure whether anybody remembers Dominic Cummings. I know a lot of stuff's been going on. Try to visualise Gollum from Lord of the Rings in a pair of chinos. Seems like a long time ago, but once upon a time, we, the British public, were confused to discover one author of the COVID-19 lockdown policy had been on a 516-mile super-spreading round trip to visit his elderly parents in Durham. We were all massively shocked to find out the political elite don't feel bound by the same rules that apply to the lumpen proletariat. That's you. But then we discovered that the rules that everyone stupidly thought prevented them from visiting dying relatives in hospital and attending the funerals of loved ones were in fact flexible enough to allow family picnics at an English heritage beauty spot if it were necessary to protect small children in extreme circumstances. Not everyone took this well. It was clear that the public wanted a longer, more boring explanation, and we got it when Dominic Cummings, wearing the white shirt of innocence, appeared at a press conference in the garden of Number 10 to read out what sounded like the script of the world's most tedious road movie. I watched this live as he read out what appeared to everyone present and those watching at home to be a hastily assembled piece of fiction incorporating all of the facts known to the press in chronological order, but which was composed with no regard to making the protagonist's motives seem believable in any way. I expect there are people out there who have attended adult creative writing courses and have heard more convincing narratives. I know this has all been satirised to death and we've all moved on, but I'm going to quickly outline what happened, just for the benefit of historians of the future, when they try to trace the Ground Zero event that triggered a second wave of preventable deaths in the UK. Dom and his wife felt ill and thought they had coronavirus. They followed government advice to stay at home by travelling 260 miles to visit his parents in Durham on his mum's birthday. He was able to make this journey without stopping in his Range Rover on one tank of petrol without any member of his family needing the loo. Once it arrived at the family estate, he was able to practice social distancing by staying in what you and I might call a second home. He then experienced previously undocumented COVID-19 symptoms of bad eyesight, still unreported in other cases, and was worried he would be unable to drive back to London. Rather than let his wife drive, he decided to test his eyesight by jumping in the car with his wife and his four-year-old child and driving to Barnard Castle on a day that just happened to be his wife's birthday. He was able to do all this because government lockdown guidance allows victims of domestic violence to leave their homes in order to protect small children in extreme circumstances. Everything explained, no apology or admission of wrongdoing required. As a populist rabble-rouser who prided himself on knowing the will of the people, Dom must have slept easy that night knowing that everyone loves a smug, unrepentant, weaselly middle-class git who thinks he's clever for finding a loophole in government guidance that nearly 68 million people had been following, like sheep, for 2 months. Imagine his surprise the next morning when his carefully crafted fable did very little to placate an angry electorate who refused to move on and continued to bombard MPs with hundreds of thousands of complaints. The storm of controversy quickly reached Twitter, if you follow the rather unimaginative hashtag SackCummings. Personally, I was disappointed that hashtag CumSack didn't gain more traction. Perhaps that's why, at the time of the recording, he's still in his job. But as one Twitter wag pointed out, asking Boris to sack Cummings is a bit like asking Orville to sack Keith Harris.
The name of this tune is Mississippi Goddamn. And I mean every word of it. Alabama's gotten me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. Alabama's gotten me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. Can't you see it? Can't you feel it? It's all in the air. I can't stand the pressure much longer. Somebody say a prayer. Alabama's gotten me so upset. Tennessee made me lose my rest. And everybody knows about Mississippi, goddamn. This is a show tune, but the show hasn't been written for it yet. Hound dogs on my trail, school children sitting in jail, black cat cross my path, I think every day's gonna be my last. Lord have mercy on on this land of mine. We all gonna get it in due time. I don't belong here, I don't belong there. I've even stopped believing in prayer. Don't tell me, I'll tell you. Me and my people just about do. I've been there, so I know. You keep on saying, go slow. Well, that's just the trouble. Washing the windows. Picking the cotton. You're just plain rotten. You thought I was kidding, didn't you? Picket lines, school boycotts. They try to say it's a communist plot. All I want is equality for my sister, my brother, my people, and me. Yes, you lied to me all these years. You told me to wash and clean my ears and talk real fine just like a lady. And you'd stop calling me Sister Sadie. Oh, but this whole country is full of lies. You all gonna die and die like flies. I don't trust you anymore. You keep on saying, go slow. Go slow. Well, that's just the trouble. Desegregation. Mass participation. Unification. Do things gradually. But bring more tragedy. Why don't you see it? Why don't you feel it? I don't know. I don't know. You don't have to live next to me. Just give me my equality. Everybody knows about Mississippi. Everybody knows about Alabama. Everybody knows about Mississippi. God damn. That's it.
That was the classic Mississippi Goddamn from Nina Simone in concert, recorded live at Carnegie Hall, New York in 1964. Her response to the assassination of civil rights activist Medgar Evers in Jackson, Mississippi in 1963, and the 16th Street Baptist Church bombing in Birmingham, Alabama the same year, where the proud defenders of the white race blew up four little black girls aged 11 to 14 with dynamite. But let's get back to the UK, the country that invented racism, and where it still exists in abundance, but where it's generally more subtle and refined than the crude racism practiced by our friends in the former colonies. Imagine, if you will, you're a prime minister faced with unrelenting pressure to sack the architect of your premiership, pressure from the public, the press, and even MPs in your own party. You're also presiding over a country where striking a balance between draconian measures and taking it on the chin by allowing the disease to move through the population has led to the second highest total of excess deaths attributable to COVID-19 in the world, and the second highest number of excess deaths per million people in the population, a country where most of the survivors have already endured a miserable 10 weeks without even a beer down the pub. You might think it was time to take people's minds off the whole hashtag cumsack affair. And there seem to be only two viable options. One, tell everyone they can have a picnic, or two, start a race war. Thankfully, with Dominic Cummings temporarily out of favour, Boris Johnson chose option one. It was decided that from the 1st of June, it would be a good idea to ease the lockdown so we could all go out and have a picnic.
Where I was born and unheathenized in the Catholic Church, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. I watched my parents die of yellow fever. I cut open the womb of my dead mother to retrieve the bodies to bring them to my brother, but yet I could not save them. Negroes are for working and not for saving. Negroes are for working and not for saving. These tools of the earth and the bush and the moon. I am coin. These tools of the earth and the moon and the bush. I was only 16. There will never be any pictures of me. Baltazar's.
That was Pauvre Pity from Coin Coin Chapter 1, Jean de Colère Libre by Metana Roberts, released in 2011. The album's first chapter in a 12-part project exploring the legacies of the American slave trade using storytelling and historical narrative to chart the personal and universal experience of Africans in America. Which brings us to the other big news story since the last podcast, the horrifying death of George Floyd. This sent a shockwave of revulsion around the world and prompted violent street protests in America against the systemic racism faced by black and minority ethnic communities. Across the world, people sought different ways to express their solidarity. Some people took to the streets in protests, while others took the knee. But nowhere was the solidarity more in evidence than on the internet, where some were prepared to make the ultimate sacrifice, removing their profile picture from Instagram for 24 hours and replacing it with a black square. As with all great humanitarian gestures, the black square could trace its origin to the music business. The killing of George Floyd presented a real dilemma for the music industry, an industry largely built on the systemic exploitation of African-American creativity for over a century. How does an entertainment industry, specialising in peddling mindless distraction, advertise its public indignation without it seeming like a marketing opportunity to build brand loyalty from a customer base who may have only recently discovered racism? It was a real head-scratcher. Here at Antigen, we just looked at Matt Healy from the 1975 and did the exact opposite. The music industry, however, found another solution, the Black Square. The Black Square was convenient in that it was the easiest, least labour-intensive way of supporting any cause in the history of protest, literally by doing almost nothing. White people could finally show their support without even having to find a meme to articulate that uncomfortable feeling we all get when we know injustice is wrong, but it doesn't personally affect us in any way. It was convenient for me. I'd sat in my house for 11 weeks doing absolutely nothing to challenge racism. One more day seemed easy enough. What could possibly go wrong? Well, a lot, as it turned out. Blackout Tuesday proved to be a really effective way of erasing from the internet every uplifting or empowering image and message attached to a Black Lives Matter hashtag. The rolling screens of silent black squares could have almost been a denial of service attack by a racist hate group, or a conceptual art piece about how social media obliterates context and reduces all meaningful discourse to black-white binary choices. The black squares pissed off some people. Other people, who liked the black squares, were pissed off at the people who didn't. And there was plenty of infighting about the right way and the wrong way to make it clear that black lives mattered on the 2nd of June. It seemed at one point that the only people not having an argument were the racists. They were all in agreement.
Any left-wing motherfucker trying to be your friend is an enemy. Don't believe in his frenemy tactics. These niggas do backflips to get a pat on the head. You step to me and you're dead. Get your liberal
and
ass kicked.
The message we have
same bitch memorized every Chief Keef verse. The same one to call the cops. Think you want to steal a purse. It hurts to say this. Niggas think they doing favors, but these hipster motherfuckers want to steal all our creations and claim credit for them. Rewrite history. Chuck Berry to Elvis. Make our shit a mystery. Rock, blues, techno, soul, jazz, and R&B, what do they have in common? Niggas started it, now we barely have a party.
Ain't nothing out there for us.
What you wanna be when you grow up?
Now some kids wanna be a fireman, a doctor, rapper, ball player, even a fucking dog watcher. Go to the NFL, be a teacher or a chemist, make an app for iPhones and get paid for your inventions, but think real hard. Think one long minute. I never heard one kid say they wanna be a critic.
You're all experts in stealing from.
See, that's every single hipster's backup plan. They fail at everything else. They need some backup, man. They spend all their parents' money, all their trust fund cash, and flunk out. And these the people that y'all let run rap. God damn. See, these 90s babies scared to talk shit. So if I gotta be that nigga, I'ma be that nigga. Call you out. Grinds vinyl in a bear trap. I'ma draw you out. Take you in the back of an alley somewhere and maul you out. Then hop up in my whip and tell you gentrify this dick, you hipster bitch.
Hey, escape from New York. Why I say escape from New York? Cause a lot of fuck niggas about to drop, man. Nah, man, better get the fuck out of the city, man. We taking that shit back, man. Hipsters get the fuck out of this motherfucker, man.
What you know about coming out hard, put your life in a bar, turn a man to a god, nigga? What you know about the infrared beam, let it die on your head while we plot on a scheme, nigga? What you know about robbing your own folks and taking out loans just to pay for your home, nigga? What you know about cussing out God cause you can't get a job and you need money now, nigga? What you know about that? What you know about this? What you know about the deuce of the fist, nigga? What you know about the world? What you know about Kane? What you know about Biggs? Top shot a nigga. What you know about a quarter life crisis? The hands on my wallet, give a fuck what the price is. What you know about stepping outside? The fiends in the line like they're waiting on a ride, nigga. Nigga, what you know? I was raised in the cages, so must you go, What you know about the 56 yard, 99 niggas who's getting robbed for the Charizards? What you know about that white girl, dog? Can't take you home cause you look like a red guard. What you know about the wages? Signed to the grind, give a fuck about a major, my nigga. Tell me what you know about strangers. 27 shows and they never even paid us, so you ain't know? What you know about BK? Fuck a hipster, stack him up, let him gentrify the freeway. What you know about keys in a bag? Fedora on the curb, my foot in your ass. DOA, no time for a mask. We're trying to take our culture with your PBR sipping ass.
Two in a row from JPEG Mafia, all caps, no spaces. That was Once They Build a Starbucks, It's Over, followed by I'll Never Forgive Hipsters for What They Did to Brooklyn, both from his Communist Slow Jams album, released in 2015. I've asked people to share their personal experiences of the COVID-19 pandemic and the lockdown measures. The response hasn't exactly been overwhelming, but we had director James Holcomb reveal his irrational fear of bread in episode 3, and we provoked the Reverend Matthew Simpkins into using the word tit in episode 5. This time, we invite local legend Seymour Quigley to talk about lockdown with the Quigleys.
So my name's Seymour Quigley and I'm a small-time gig promoter working at the Hunter Club in Bury St Edmunds, but during the day I'm a trainee teacher. I was in the middle of my teacher training year when all of this happened, and it's been an interesting time because, like most adults, I've spent my entire working life working. In fact, I got my first job when I was 15, working in a restaurant in the evenings, and by the time I did my GCSEs, I had 3 jobs, evening, morning and weekend, and that's been how it's been my whole life. So it's been strange to be in a position where suddenly I have time to spend with my family, and I've really enjoyed it. It's been nice because, you know, until I checked myself and made a few adjustments, for the first 3 years of my older son's life, he's 8 now, but until he was 3, when his little brother was born, I was working a day job and an evening job, and that took up my whole life, and I was falling into the trap of being the dad who was never there. So it's been good to finally spend as much time as I would have always liked to have spent with them and not have to worry about going to work. Obviously, the circumstances under which that's happened are awful. My wife and I both had coronavirus. She works at the hospital. So my wife and I wake up one Saturday morning and we couldn't get out of bed. And within a few days, we were struggling to breathe. We couldn't call for help because we'd been told by the government not to. And the most we could do was to crawl to the kitchen to feed our children and encourage them to watch things and play video games in the lounge while we both lay there wondering if we would die. And, you know, worst case scenario being that we would both be taken off to hospital at the same time, leaving an 8-year-old with special needs and a 4-year-old with no parents and no immediate family. And it was an awful, awful time. So that's when I say that being able to spend all this time with my family as a result of coronavirus is nice. It's because that's because we got better eventually and didn't die. It's a selfish position, but that's the truth of the matter. I know Jason asked me onto this show because he was hoping I would say something that relates that to Dominic Cummings. And I would hate to disappoint Jason, so I am going to state very clearly that Dominic Cummings, the unelected president of the United Kingdom, is a complete arsehole. And his gaslighting of our nation by rewriting the rules and suggesting that he was simply being a responsible parent and that parents who don't drive 200 miles to infect their parents in the name of getting childcare that suits them. It's so beyond obscene. I can't really fathom it. But then again, everything that our government have said and done for the last 10 years, slowly ramping it up into the levels of absurdity that we've seen during this pandemic, when they are constantly gaslighting everyone and suggesting that over 40,000 people dead is not a catastrophe. That's been really, really something, almost inspirational, I would say. So, it's an odd time. But then things that have happened over the last week or so, the outpouring of rage, but also positivity in the wake of what's happened in America with the death of George Floyd at the hands of the Minnesota police, has... There's hope in people's anger, is what I feel. And we lose when hope is lost. So, you know, I think we need to start looking to the future with hope, because, you know, people reacting with anger to awful things means that I think there's a chance we're going to be okay. But what would be dangerous was if we didn't react at all to terrible things happening, and that's not where we're at yet. So I don't know where I'm going with any of this, really. Jason instructed me to waffle, and that's what I've done. But I hope you're all okay out there. Look after each other, and cheers, Jason.
was the voice of Seymour Quigley, Bury St Edmunds based live music promoter, rock god, cultural icon, astral body around which the entire Bury St Edmunds music scene orbits, teacher, husband and dad. He was talking about his experience of lockdown and offering opinions, entirely of his own free will, about government special advisor Dominic Cummings. That was followed by Receiver by Bury St Edmunds band Horse Party, band featuring Seymour, as well as Shannon, Ellie and Catherine. That was my token floppy-haired indie track of the podcast, and it goes out to my friend Lisa, although she's probably turned this off by now and is now listening to the Sisters of Mercy. Receiver was taken from the Horizon CD, which came out on Repeat Records in 2016. I think it was originally the B-side for a single about a year earlier. Repeat Records is a record company out of step with the rest of the music industry because they hate racism every day of the year, not just on the 2nd of June. It wasn't just on the internet that people were arguing in all caps about whether you need to be anti-racist every day of the year. Here in Ipswich, there was a healthy debate around a Black Lives Matter march and rally organised for the 6th of June. Many wondered about the wisdom of holding mass rallies when black and Asian ethnic groups are up to twice as likely to die from COVID-19 in the UK. Some were concerned that it would arm irrational right-wingers with ammunition to use against them when there's a second wave of death in the autumn, thereby deflecting blame from where it should squarely sit, our criminally negligent Prime Minister. By the day of the march, it seemed as though the anti-racists had completely forgotten about hating racism and were reserving all their criticism for anti-racists who didn't know how to be anti-racist properly. In fact, it seemed a lot easier to be a racist, which is probably one reason why it's so popular. No one asked me for my opinion, but if I wanted to help the fight against racism, more than I do already by staying off social media for a day, I would organise an All Lives Matter march in Ipswich. And I'd encourage anyone who feels so strongly that all lives matter, that they need to march about it, I'd encourage them to come along with the full-time racists. I'd invite them all along to my All Lives Matter march, and I'd remind them that COVID-19 is a government conspiracy, and that only gay communists wear face masks. And then we'd see if herd immunity really works. But the real rally went ahead, people practiced social distancing, and it was a huge success, even garnering positive coverage from our local paper, the Ipswich Star. Though they had to disable the comments to stifle the torrent of racist bile that erupts every time they post a heartwarming story about global unity in the face of oppression. In fact, the only person who didn't like it was local Conservative councillor Robin Vickery.
The body is a flood. And freedom is a swarm of lies. Dead boys can't sing. But mothers are gonna cry. A storm of change. And that storm is nigh. And freedom is a swarm of flies. Candle on the curb. Is the fire that could when the squad car won't burn as bright as it should. Freedom is a swarm of light. Numbers don't lie. But justice is still due.
let's bury them all. In their uniforms of blue. But God said no. God said wait. Your freedom is a song of hate. So sing your song. Sing your song. Sing your song.
That was Dorian Wood with Hymn to Freedom, a song Dorian wrote back in 2015, shortly after the demonstrations in Ferguson, Missouri, in response to the shooting of Michael Brown by white cop Darren Wilson. You can download the song from Dorian's Bandcamp page. Keeping it local, this is an Ipswich-based internet radio show, so I want to talk a little about our local MP, Tom Hunt. Since the last podcast, he's been back to Parliament to speak on the second reading of the new immigration bill. I have to be quite careful here, as I am, in my day job, an employee of Suffolk County Council, a Conservative-led local authority in the east of England. And as one councillor has recently discovered, you can only post offensive content on the internet for 2 or 3 years before someone has a quiet word and you have to take early retirement. So I've decided to err on the side of caution and make sure everything that follows is already in the public domain, and is an indisputable fact rather than my personal opinion. Let's start with a bit of background. Tom Hunt MP is a former media relations manager for the Countryside Alliance and a vocal advocate for repealing the Hunting Act, which, for listeners from outside the UK, banned the sport of tearing apart wild mammals with packs of dogs in 2004. This was a recreational pastime enjoyed by the English aristocracy since laws were introduced to ban the hunting of peasants. Tom Hunt of the Countryside Alliance was born and raised in Ely in Cambridgeshire, moving to Suffolk in 2018 when he saw the opportunity to bring his, quote, toxic xenophobia and divisive rhetoric, end quote, to Ipswich to capitalise on Brexit divisions and advance his political career. Unfortunately, when he arrived in Ipswich, it wasn't at all like the countryside of Cambridgeshire. Instead, it was full of obviously foreign people walking around in the town they live in, making new arrival Tom feel so uncomfortable he felt he had to speak out about it in the press. Luckily, the local papers were happy to give him a platform to make, quote, factually unfounded claims, end quote, including that a disproportionate number of crimes are committed by individuals from a certain community, by which he meant the Roma, and that this was a result of bad behaviour which may be rife in other countries but is not traditionally in ours. All in an article for the East Anglian Daily Times in January this year. He was keen to point out these weren't just his views, these were the views of real people he had spoken to on the doorsteps during his electoral campaign, i.e. experts in the statistical analysis of crime data. The article was referred to Suffolk Constabulary by what Tom Hunt of the Countryside Alliance calls the local thought police as a hate incident. The Ipswich and Suffolk Council for Racial Equality called his comments at best disappointing and at worst an ill-judged piece of dog whistling. And even Tory Police and Crime Commissioner Tim Passmore referred to them as very unhelpful. His comments were, however, welcomed by the sort of people who like to leave comments on the Ipswich Star website. By which I mean racists. But Tom's own views, although entirely evidence-free, are not racist, And that was proved when the Ipswich Star advertised an article he'd penned on the 22nd of May with the byline, "I'm no xenophobe, but." That same day, to underline the point further, he decided to give himself a bonehead haircut to raise money for Age UK, in a move that was in no way calculated to increase his appeal to elderly racists. So where he used to look like a Jedward, he now looks like he's just put a brick through a corner shop window after huffing a bag of glue. Reports that he's about to get a spiderweb tattoo for Help the Heroes are apparently just a figment of my imagination while I'm recording this. That's the background. I guess my message to Tom Hunt of the Countryside Alliance at this sensitive time, my message to him as a constituent and as a private individual, not as an employee of Suffolk County Council. And these are not just my views, these are the views of many people I've spoken to on the doorsteps. They think, if you don't like it here in Ipswich, then maybe you should go back to where you came from. Maybe you should fuck off back to your flat in Ely, where you can sit masturbating over the pages of Blood Sports Weekly, or whatever you pasty-faced Countryside Alliance types do in your spare time in Toffland. Probably stuff that would make David Cameron skull-fucking a severed pig's head seem quite tame in comparison, I'd imagine. That, by the way, was a factually unfounded statement that I chose to share in public without checking whether it was true or worrying about whether it would upset anyone, in an attempt at satire.
There's a lovely area before you come here, lovely.
For the poor, pizza with a side of misery. Teacher said when I leave, no one here will miss me. Didn't know I was a sinner, but if they say so, well I must be. Big lips, white nose, God knows no one will trust me. Mum don't look like me, but thank God she still loved me. Neighbours called me nigger, told me go back to my own country. Said since we arrived, this place has got so ugly. But this is my fucking country, and it's never been fucking lovely.
We live in a pyramid. We live here.
Town, have a drink and puff your chest out. Not a racist, you're just proud. Why should you be left out? The fairies get a march and the nignogs get a month. We've got the right to vote. I mean, what more could we want? Free to go where I like, if I look like I belong. If not, fuck off. Go on, boy, move along. Remember Stephen Lawrence? He too was free to roam. 18 years old at the bus stop, murdered on his way home.
We did in a pyramid. We live here.
I was called nigger, I was about 7 or 8 years old. I was playing across the street and one of the older kids called me it. I went home for bath time a little later and asked my mum what it meant. My white mum, she told me it was a bad word.
We did in the pyramid. We live here. We did in the pyramid, mate. We fucking live here, you cunt.
That was Bob Villain with We Live Here, released in March of this year. A reminder that we invented racism, not those damn Bible-munching cowfuckers in America. We invented it in England. Changing the subject, I'm recording this on the day after the resignation of Conservative councillor Robin Vickery, who represented Castle Hill Ward on Ipswich Borough Council and the Carlford Division just round the corner from me on Suffolk County Council. He'd been suspended for posting racist content on Facebook, including a post calling for black and minority ethnic people, including London Mayor Sadiq Khan and Labour MP Diane Abbott, to be deported, as he wouldn't want them dying from COVID-19. I'm sure he sincerely believed he had their best interests at heart, but how can they be deported from their own country? They live here, you Tom Hunt! Local Conservative MP, Dr. Dan Poulter, said, apparently without irony, there is no place for racism or prejudice in public life. Robin Vickery has posted a number of images and comments which show poor judgment and which individually and collectively appear to be racist. In former Councillor Vickery's statement, he didn't apologise. That's not the done thing anymore. Instead, choosing to frame himself as the victim and saying he'd been subjected to some horrible comments. It's a shame, with the lockdown measures, there probably won't be an opportunity for me to sign his leaving card. His Facebook account is still up for people who want to send him their best wishes. Maybe I'll try to get him that delicate princess card that he's been begging for months on Coinmaster. Scroll down his newsfeed, you'll find that is not a joke. I wasn't going to play the next one, even though it's one of the greatest tracks recorded in the last century, not because of the language and not because I believe it's unfair to blame an entire profession because of one or two bad apples. I wasn't going to play it because product does not rhyme with narcotics, even if you're Ice Cube. But now that 57 officers in Buffalo have resigned from the emergency response team in protest at the suspension of two officers responsible for seriously injuring 75-year-old Martin Gugino, I've changed my mind. This is for them.
Right about now, NWA court is in full effect. Judge Dre residing. In the case of NWA versus the police department, prosecuting attorneys are MC Ren, Ice Cube, and Easy Motherfucking E.
Order, order, order. Ice Cube, take the motherfucking stand. Do you swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help your black ass?
You goddamn right.
Won't you tell everybody what the fuck you gotta say?
Fuck the police coming straight from the underground. A young nigga got it bad cause I'm brown. And not the other color, so police think they have the authority to kill a minority. Fuck that shit cause I ain't the one for a punk motherfucker with a badge and a gun to be beaten on. And thrown in jail, we can go toe to toe in the middle of a sale. Fucking with me cause I'm a teenager with a little bit of gold and a pager. Searching my car, looking for the product. Thinking every nigga is selling narcotics. You rather see me in the pen than me and Lorenzo rolling in a Benzo. Be the police out of shape and when I finish, bring the yellow tape to tape off the scene of the slaughter. Still getting swole up bread and water. I don't know if they fags or what. Search a nigga down and grabbing his nuts. And on the other hand, without a gun, they can't get none. But don't let it be a black and a white one, cause they'll slam you down to the street top. Black police showing out for the white cop. Ice Cube will swarm on any motherfucker in a blue uniform. Just cause I'm from the CPT, police are afraid of me, huh? A young nigga on the warpath. And when I finish, it's gonna be a bloodbath of cops dying in LA. Yo, Dre, I got something to say.
Fuck the police.
MC Ren, will you please give your testimony to the jury about this fucked up incident?
Fuck the police, and Ren said it with authority. Because the niggas on the street is a majority of gang. It's with whoever I'm stepping. And a motherfucking weapon is kept in a stash spot for the so-called law. Wishing Ren was a nigga that they never saw. Lights start flashing behind me. But they're scared of a nigga, so they mace me to blind me. But that shit don't work, I just laugh. Because it gives them a hint not to step in my path. But police, I'm saying, fuck you, punk. Read my rights and shit, it's all junk. Pulling out a silly club so you stand with a fake-ass badge and a gun in your hand. But take off the gun so you can see what's up. And we'll go at it, punk, and I'ma fuck you up. Make you think I'ma kick your ass. But drop your gat, and Red's gonna blast. I'm sneaky as fuck when it comes to crime. But I'ma smoke them now and not next time. Smoke any motherfucker that sweats me. Any asshole that threatens me. I'm a sniper with a hell of a scope. Taking out a cop or two that can't cope with me. The motherfucking villain that's mad. With potential to get bad as fuck. So I'ma turn it around. Put in my clip, yo, and this is the sound. Yeah, something like that. But it all depends on the size of the gap. Taking out a police would make my day. But a nigga like Ren don't give a fuck to say. Fuck the police. Fuck the police.
Yo, man, what you need?
The
tell the jury how you feel about this bullshit.
I'm tired of the motherfucking jacking. Sweating my gang while I'm chilling in the shack and shining the light in my face, and for what? Maybe it's because I kick so much, but I kick ass. Or maybe because I blast on a stupid ass nigga when I'm playing with the trigger of an Uzi or an AK. Cause the police always got something stupid to say. They put out my picture with silence. Cause my identity by itself causes violence. So E with the criminal behavior. Yeah, I'm a gangster, but still I got flavor. Without a gun and a badge, what do you got? A sucker in a uniform waiting to get shot by me or another nigga. And with a gat, it don't matter if he's smaller or bigger. And as y'all know, E's here the rule. Whenever I'm rolling, keep looking in the mirror and is on cue, yo, so I can hear a dumb motherfucker with a gun. And if I'm rolling off the 8, he'll be the one that I take out and then get away while I'm driving off laughing. This is what I'll say. Fuck the police.
Jurious found you guilty of being a redneck, white bread, chicken shit motherfucker.
Wait, that's a lie! That's a goddamn lie!
Get him out of here!
I want justice!
Get him the fuck out my face!
I want justice!
Out right now!
Fuck you, you black motherfucker!
Fuck the police! Fuck the police! Fuck the police!
For the Buffalo Emergency Response Team, who wanted everyone to know that abuse of power is part of the job, and if you don't like it, they'll quit. I couldn't really make a podcast like this without including a track by Public Enemy. The biggest challenge was choosing a single track from their holy trinity of unsurpassed albums.
Thank you. Yeah, he's talking MLK. Gonna find a way, make this day pay. I'm looking for the day. Hard as it seems, this ain't no damn dream. Gotta know what I mean. It's team against team, catch the light beam. So I pray every day, I do every shot I make. Looking for culture, I got my not here for Jamaica. Pushing and shaking the structure, bringing down a Babylon. Here in the circle, I make it hard for the brown. The hard full of blood, I need it now, more than ever now. Who's sitting on my freedom, oppressor, people beater? A piece of the pick, we picked a piece of the land we're serving now. Reparation, a piece of the nation, damn, we got the nerve. Another nigga, they saying classify, we want too much. My people plus tonight is mine, don't think I even do. Here's a brother, my attitude is hit, I'm hanging high. I'm blowing up the 90s, started ticking in 86. When I'm blind, get a mind, better stop fearing while we singing now. There will be the day we know who's down and who will go. Go, 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 go. By the time I get to Arizona, by the time I get to Arizona,
Public Enemy with By the Time I Get to Arizona from Apocalypse 91, The Enemy Strikes Black. I'm probably in a minority of one in considering this their best album. Fight me in the comments if you disagree. Before I go, I'd like to echo the positive and uplifting words of this week's guest, Seymour Quickly. That's not really me, is it? So instead, I'll leave you with a final song. A special treat for those of you who've made it this far. It's by the Watts Prophets, a group of poets formed by Otis O'Solomon, Amday Hamilton and Richard Dadeau in 1967 in the aftermath of the Watts Rebellion in Los Angeles. They originally released two albums, The Black Voices on the Streets in Watts in 1969 and Rapping Black in a White World in 1970, both of which are essential listening for anyone with an interest in protest music. It was difficult to pick a track to play, as the power and confrontational nature of the material has scarcely diminished in the 50 years since its creation. The language and intent behind the first two records is so uncompromising, it still makes for uncomfortable listening in 2020. The Watts Prophets were often as critical of the black community as they were of white America, and in the next piece, possibly the most incendiary track on the debut album, they call out the black bourgeoisie, whom they view as complicit in their own oppression, people who sold themselves out for a colour TV. They were rare in 1969. But for me, the sentiments expressed in this track go beyond race or ethnicity. They could apply equally to the petty bourgeoisie of any race in any country, to the people who post black squares on Facebook and try and blot out their white middle-class guilt by sponsoring a goat in Africa, to the working-class voters in the north of England who threw in their lot with Boris at the last general election because they didn't like the look of Jeremy Corbyn's cardigan, to the sad attention-seeking middle-aged podcasters filling the internet with their cranky old man bile, trying to provoke a reaction from people who are just trying to get on with their lives in lockdown without having a nervous breakdown. But that's more than enough idle self-reflection for one show. Until next time, fight the power, and if, like me, you can't be bothered to leave the house, use your keyboard warrior skills to take the fight to the fascists in their own homes, to the apologists and the amnesiacs, the worshippers of statues, the Tom Hunts, the Robin Vickeries, the people who feel they must tell you that all lives matter, and the people who leave comments on the Ipswich Star website, although they probably fit into all five of the previous categories. And if you can't even be bothered to do that, take solace in the words of the late, great Douglas Adams. They are a bunch of mindless jerks who will be first up against the wall when the revolution comes.
For whatever reason you refuse to feel this space we're in, to know its insanity, really know it. Whatever your particular anesthetic is that you hold on to so desperately, the thing I mean that makes you think you know who you are, whatever that thing is you allow to keep you sane, your ace in the hole, the psyche that keeps you from trying to guess at what your pimp has in store for you, whatever keeps you from screaming out at this very moment in absolute and sheer horror. Whatever you fuck your brain with, nigga, whatever that is, it's a lie. It's a lie. Give reality your brain, sleepy nigga, you fantasized son of Walt Disney, it's a lie. An old off-the-street pimp's con game. The magic for turning human blood into U.S. steel. The thing that seduces you into being satisfied. At pointing to the last tiny patch of flesh you have on your bones as proof of your humanity. And keeps you satisfied thinking yourself human because you live a fraction of a fraction of a fraction of a life. I know you. Because you live here in his space as I do, are his image and play his game on each other, thinking it's your own. I know you. You can't live in an insane asylum, play an insane game with a madman, and be objective, brother. At least prostitutes get paid. Yes, while you pin your hopes, your sanity, and most of all your individuality on that rickety old con game, a web of words, while the master pimp helps you paint your individual death wish in your head, feel who you are. Feel for a split second the obscenity of who you've got to be, really. In actions, I mean. A drippy crotched, open-legged old cunt defined by, ordered up for, and delivered to your jobs on Monday morning. The greatest 8 hours you'll spend in your entire life, ho. Is a color television really worth that? In this filth, this insidious insanity, this nightmare of deception and hypocrisy, in this United States of America, careful not to awaken the sleepy, we, you and I, wander around through a sea of our own shit, rotten bodies, in this pimp whore's game, you pretending it's everything else, in this sewer in which no one can escape playing. It's normal for brothers to pimp sisters and wives because their fathers pimp them, or for television stations to pimp their audiences for perverted sponsors who whore for their own commercials. In this cancer where the voters bend over for their congressmen and senators whose asses ain't safe either. In this canker sore from which your total nourishment comes. Here, where your bourgeoisie brain grows and thrives. Here, you're gonna try to convince me that because you found someone else's shoulders to stand on, so you only get shit on your shoes. Or that, with your kind of money, you could afford to buy someone else's nose and throat to eat here with, simply because you can afford it now? Do you think your cunt doesn't still swing open like a garden gate if and when it's needed? Do you really think you freed yourself of America's special insidiousness of being inside you? No, brother, America's a condition. This is shit as far as the eye can see, and we're in it. My only question is, don't you really smell anything? Doesn't the food taste a little strange to you? Doesn't your ass hurt? Or are you just pretending that this isn't shit just because they let you watch television in here?